We smile upon you, O Father, as we think about both what you have done and who you are. As I think this morning of who you are, it reminds me to be so thankful this morning as we've gathered to do this worship together here, that we serve a living Savior that should be talked about and thought about more than just Easter. We think about it this morning and we praise you, O God, that you are living within our hearts and that you demonstrated the power of only you could demonstrate of God, the Almighty One, of raising your Son from the dead and serving today in a living way in our hearts through the very presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I thank you for who you are. You are our God, our Father in heaven, the one who knows us best, the one who created us, created this beautiful world that we enjoy and so much more out there we know nothing about, who blesses us in this valley, is family after family and church after church, a great place to live and minister together with so many others up and down this Roaring Fork Valley. Thank you for the body of Christ as it exists right here this morning in so many places and in this room. It's people. It's brothers and sisters. Thank you. And I thank you for your wisdom, for your presence everywhere, your guidance upon our lives, for your loving kindness, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy to me, and so much more. And I thank you as well for what you have done, and you have done so much, and you have first and foremost sent your only Son to die on the cross, which we just sang about, to die on the cross, to pave a way for me, for us, paid the penalty of all my sin, and provided me a way to know you intimately and to know you forever through your only Son, who you gave to us. How we love you and thank you for the privilege of prayer and of worship and of thinking about our great God this morning. In whose name I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is such a privilege to pray, such a wonderful opportunity to worship the Almighty God. This has been good this morning. I got here early before anybody else. It was very quiet and had a word of prayer that God would bless all of this morning, and I believe He has. I believe He has been blessed as we've come together to fellowship, to get to know each other, to sing and pray and worship Him. He loves this thing. He does. He just loves this. But He wants so much more. He wants this somehow all week long, and I've been talking about it for 6 weeks now. How are you doing? Did you even think about it this week that He wants you to worship Him? To find that place where you can practice the presence of God, Brother Lawrence once said. All the time. Everywhere we are, how you doing? I've heard from at least some of you who have said it's been good to think about it, but I'm not getting it together yet. Because I realize come Sunday that I never once thought about it, and here I am again, and I should be thinking during the week of what God, my Father, wants from me. He wants my heart. He wants my attention. He wants my prayer. He wants my focus. He wants my worship. Worship, personal and continual, all week long. That's been my prayer for you and for me. In an absolutely amazing demonstration, the Lord Jesus Christ met a woman of Samaria, and you were not supposed to talk with these people. It was an unspoken rule. Sometimes we even went around as a team, around that area, so we didn't engage with them. And Jesus met with this woman and spoke. And it surprised her, I think, just that he was wanting to engage in a conversation. And they began to talk, and she was very confused about a number of subjects, and one of them was worship. She was kind of confused about who can worship and where you worship and when you should worship. And here's what he said to her: "Woman, believe me, as recorded in John 4, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. You don't even understand some of the stuff you're going through, and you're calling it worship. We worship what we know. It's right. It's intelligent. I know what I'm doing. Salvation comes through the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, in fact, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You see, worship was never intended to be here or there, this day or that day. It was to be every day. And as you and I engage in what I pray is meaningful worship through the week, some of you were even maybe singing this week a little bit. I don't know. I didn't hear it. He did. Praising him and praying to him and honoring him. As we do that individually throughout the week, I believe we will discover that our times when we meet here together as a family even take on deeper meaning. Some people have come to believe that worship, as I've been describing it through the week, particularly, is optional. It's optional. I've even heard folks say, "Look, Bible study is my thing. I love the Word, and you need to know I'm in the Scripture. I'm studying the Bible. I have my class, and I do meet with the ladies, and I do this, and I do that, and I'm into this Bible study thing. I'm not into singing, and I'm not into praying. I know I'm supposed to, but it's hard for me. It's difficult for me. I like study. I'm into the study of the Word. I express my faith best there." Unfortunately, that approach of singling out one aspect, one discipline of the faith, is not scriptural. Throughout the Bible, we find that worship is more an option than eating, as much of an option as eating or breathing. Stop doing either of those and you don't last long. You die physically. Stop worshiping, and the Bible tells me, and God tells me in His Word, that we die spiritually. You stop spending time together with your family won't last long. If you never share your faith from your heart, then you will never enjoy the experience of seeing somebody come to know Jesus like you did a long time ago. It's a joy, it's a thrill every time. And if you don't worship, I mean truly worship, not simply attend a service, you'll never experience God as He wants you to experience Him. It's that simple, and it's something that's supposed to happen all week long. Imagine trying to make a weekly appointment to do all of your breathing. Sunday morning, I'm going to do my breathing. And so you drive to a great big oxygen tank, where you meet other air breathers and you sing songs about air. Actually, we have one. "The Air I Breathe," isn't that a beautiful song? But you start singing songs about air, breathing. And you visit a little bit about how we can become better at breathing. Unfortunately, you'll be gasping for air before you get back to the car. Worship in this building is great. It's good. It's enjoyable. It's valuable, I think. I love it. But so is your personal, ongoing worship with God all through the week. And I really wonder how well we did again this week. Probably not as good as we wish we had. We just are so busy, we forget. That is an important part of our experience with Him. It's what He wants. Did you even open up the Bible? Did you ever pray outside of the meal? Did you just stop and, as we suggested a few Sundays ago, you don't have to close your eyes and fold your hands. I was taught to do that as a kid, but now that I'm an adult, I can open up my eyes. I can lift up my hands. I can think about Him and praise Him and walk and sing and talk. Looks a little strange to people. But you can find that spot in those moments to praise Him from deep within your soul. Did you get that in? Did that happen this week to us at all? God wants it to happen. Listen to these scriptures. These are Psalms. Give unto the Lord the glory, do His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Didn't say He had to do it in here. Come before His presence with thanksgiving and let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. According to the Bible, our Lord is to be loved by all His creatures here, all His children who know Him in a personal way, with all our hearts and souls and mind and strength. He's to be praised and blessed and glorified and exalted and feared and thanked. And the idea is that we worship God with all that we have. Why? Because we want to obey Him. Because He says to. You need to do that, David. You need to pray. You need to talk. You need to visit with me. If you're going swimming, you don't stand forever beside the pool looking at the water. Ultimately, the time comes to jump in, to get wet. There's no way to swim without using your whole body unless you want to sink and drown. Don't sit in the worship service either and just watch others doing something. Ever catch yourself doing that in here? Wondering what everybody else is kind of doing around you? Don't do that. If you need to, close your eyes and worship. You don't need to look at us up here. Close your eyes and think of Him. When you're singing, praise Him. Honor Him. That's what He wants all the time. From you and me all week long. I believe that many people worship God for what they think they can get out of it rather than what they can give to it. I continue to challenge you this morning in your personal worship this week, as well as our corporate worship here, to give of yourself and the acts of praise and worship to God wholly, freely, completely. Tell Him and show Him that you're ready to dive in and experience this awesome presence that He has with us. The word worship comes from two words that mean worth and ship. The meaning then is to give worth back to God, worship. Interestingly enough, some of the old ancient Hebrew and Greek words for worship speak of bowing to the ground. Bowing down to the ground is a sign of reverence. You see that in so many cultures today around the world where people bow down, face a direction and bow down. That's a really ancient Old Testament picture of worship, bowing down. It's beautiful. Whether we're folding our hands and closing our eyes and praying at the table, or we have our hands and arms up and we're walking and looking and singing and praising, I suppose it matters not to Him as long as my heart is engaged. In Revelation chapter 4, we find maybe the ultimate image of worship altogether. The scene focuses on 24 elders, which I think represent members of the family of God. I really do. And they are wearing crowns and they are clothed in white And they fall down, they bow down, they fall down in reverence and worship to the eternal King who sits up there on the throne. And they cast all that they have and all that they are before him. And here's what they will sing. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. I remind you that in the days when John's book of Revelation first appeared, the Romans were still at the height of their power. And any time a king was conquered by the Romans, he was brought to Rome to fall down, to take his crown and lay it there in the picture of the superiority of Roman power and bow down before the king. They demanded it. The elders in John's vision are wearing crowns and they're offering themselves and they're falling down before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and worshiping. That's worship. It's what God demands from us. He said, because I said so, do it. And he wants that kind of total submission from me all week long, not just Sunday. As Brother Lawrence penned it, practicing the presence of God. You do that? Practicing the presence of God. Day by day, moment by moment. Professional football players have said that their performance on Sunday is a reflection of how they've practiced all week long. Apparently, my team did not practice. Much last year. You know, it might be the similar picture for you and I here as worshipers this morning. A real gauge of what we're doing on Sunday may be what he knows we've been doing all week long, just in here to him. You got to find the time to do that. I got to make time to do that. Pray and sing and worship him. In Romans 12, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and think of who he was writing to, churches of Rome, power of the day. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The NIV translates the last phrase, your spiritual worship. Many of you have that. To come and lay yourselves before God's altar, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And we're saying, here I am, Lord. Make me your instrument for heavenly music right now. Make me play this through me all week long for your honor and glory. And let me understand that all that I do and all that I say and every place that I go and every thought that I think and every relationship I connect with this morning, oh God, may I do it for you and for your glory. Not just Sunday morning, but Monday and Tuesday and every day. And so we do so out of obedience because my Father knows best. And I do so out of reverence because he deserves it. He is the King of Kings. Now, frankly, I know that. And frankly, I know that my Father knows that and that he knows what's best for me. I just forget that. I know it's right, but I don't seem to get it done during the week. And according to comments from you, a number of you are with me on that. It's difficult to make that a habit, as we've been suggesting, because our lives are so crazy, busy all the time. We haven't made it the kind of habit God wants it to be. It's not the first thing we think about in the morning. It's maybe the last thing we may think about at night. And he knows I need it. How would you begin to actually apply this knowing the Father demands it? How are you going to apply it this week knowing that he expects it of you? Well, why would God command this of me? Is this for my sake or is this for his sake? The answer is yes. It's for me, it's for him, it's for all of us. My Father knows just how important it is for me. He knows, guess what? He knows my struggles better than I do. He knows everything that's going on in my life, fatigue and health and work and family and all the issues that so much of that brings to us week after week after week. He knows all that and knows what we're going through better than we do. Dave, this is a big deal. I want you to hear me, he said. It will take a toll on you if you're not listening. Change a few habits and worship me tomorrow in your heart. And not just because I said so, but because I know so. He knows I need it, and he knows you need it. We all need that. Could I find myself in a worship posture during my routine, practicing the presence of God as you rake the lawn, or Kathy, as you rake the lawn, or you sit in a bleacher and watch a softball game, or you're walking down aisle 4 finding something? Could we begin to really see how to practice and realize practicing the presence of God? Practicing the presence of God. Most of us don't even think about God then. We're doing our thing. We're busy. And he says, I want to be in your life. I know it's best for you. I know what you're going through. I know everything about you, David. Now just let me in on that. Let's just walk together through this. He sees it. He knows it. He demands it. Daily, routinely. He wants to align himself with me. He wants me to be aligned with him. In one of Jesus' most beautiful sermons, as recorded in John 15, he said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, that is, stay attached to me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides on the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. But we go all week long thinking we can do about everything. Till we're in trouble. He wants to have a fellowship and a relationship all week long, all the time. It's worship at its best. I believe, according to the volume of Scripture and according to what he says in the Scripture to me about worship, that God values my personal time with him as much as he does this thing. And yet that's the part I ignore. And I forget is really important. What's our job there? Abide. Stay attached. Daily. That happens as I worship God and as I practice the presence of God daily. Is it best? Yes. Is it right? Absolutely. Then do it. Then let's do it. Let's find those moments to get that accomplished. I remember well when my kids were like this, like some of you. We got kids just like this. A long time ago for me. Kids like this we had. And we would come to a busy intersection. And what would I do? I would get very serious. If Brian was playing with a stick or something, throw that down. You need to concentrate on something else. Tamara grabbed my hand and I said, now. I got kind of tough at that moment, right? Grab my hand. Come on, grab my hand. You have no clue what that traffic is all about over there. I do. I know all about it. We're going to walk this together. Come on, grab my hand. I said, grab my hand. Okay, and here we go. We start walking across that street together. And we made it. Most of the time. because we did it together, because I said so, and I know so. I knew they needed that, or they wouldn't make it. Why do we think spiritually we can get along through the week without that with our dad in heaven? Who says, David, grab my hand. Here, come on, let's go. I see the traffic better than you. I know what this week is going to hold for you, and you need me to walk through with you. You ain't going to get enough just on Sunday morning, as good as it is. You need me this morning. You need me today. Personal worship, continual, all through the week. Let's do it. Make a note somewhere. Have a little piece of paper, write it down. Practice the presence of God. I think Brother Lawrence said it so well. The way he lived it every day. Practice the presence of God. At the little league softball game, practice the presence of God. Dad, when the call was wrong, practice the presence of God. Be a witness instead. Show your dependence on your Father in heaven. Do it what? Now and with a smile. Let's pray. Father, help me do it now and with a smile because you said so and you know it's best for me. Speak to us as we wrap things up and talk to us through your Holy Spirit right now for just a couple minutes, deep within, where we should see change made and lean on you and grab your hand and walk out of here with your help. In Jesus' name, your Son, I pray.